This podcast is offered to you by Zen Center North Shore on the web at www.zencenternorthshore.org. This program is made possible by donations from listeners like you.
Mother's Day, how perfect. I was thinking, why this particular day do we call it Mother's Day? Is it Hallmark greeting cards? You know, it's kind of arbitrary, perhaps. You know, like Black History Month is every month. Maybe every day is Earth Day, that kind of thing. Every day can be Mother's Day. But for us in this practice place, there's something intentional, deeply intentional. Blanche was born and died right around Mother's Day. So we've taken up the tradition in this practice place of on Mother's Day honoring Blanche. So I'm just marveling at the concurrence of events, having Tova visiting on this particular weekend that's Mother's Day, where we're also in Sesshin together. I'm really glad that you're here. So this Mother's Day, I wanted to just share a few thoughts around mother. This may be a dharma, a relationship, mother, that's fraught for some of us. You know, none of us would be here if it weren't for moms. So we can be grateful for the life that we've been given. And then also, if you're like me, there may be grief commingled with that gratitude. And if you're like me, it could be that your relationship with your mother is improving. In the last couple years, I've gotten much closer to my mom, my biological mom, through COVID, through my sister's death, who knows through what else. And I say that for anyone here who is experiencing some kind of pain around this being Mother's Day. And if this is the case for you, that there is some pain, maybe we could, you know, open it up a little bit. Like Blanche is my Dharma mom, and she's your ancestor. And so that's a different kind of relationship, this dharmic mom, this dharmic relationship that already points to some kind of opening, some kind of releasing the grip on what mother means. And then also, we're gonna chant in a little bit for our midday service. What we offer during Sesshin is what we call an extended well-being ceremony. It includes the loving kindness meditation. And one of the lines in that is, even as a mother at the risk of her life watches over and protects her only child. So this is the Buddha encouraging each one of us to be mom. Oh, I have to just point out, there goes the lawnmower. I thought for sure they were gonna mow the lawn right in the middle of the Dharma talk. It might happen. I saw them drive in, but they're now driving by. Bye-bye. Even as a mother at the risk of her life watches over and protects her only child, for each one of us, an exhortation on a day like this, on Mother's Day, to be mom to ourselves and to each other. To know, to make contact, that we have the capacity within us to be nurturing, to be caring, to be loving. And it's very helpful. And this morning also, Ancestor Shirtu, in the Harmony of Difference and Equality, I never really connected with this before, says, what is it he says? I had to write it down because I knew I'd forget. Yeah, the four elements return to their nature just as a child turns to its mother. So this is a bit more, you know, removed from the kind of biological relationship or just the human realm. This is about connecting with the natural realm. You know, if it's a stretch for you just yet to see yourself, maybe for some of us, with a capacity to be loving and caring. You know, to access just yet, that great protective love and concern for all beings that the Buddha is asking us, is asking of us, in his, her, their deep faith in us, and our capacity to, without exception, extend this deep, protective, loving concern for all beings. So if we're not there yet, it's okay. This thing that Shirtu says could be interesting for some of us. This teaching of the four elements return to their nature, just as a child turns to its mother. So this is pointing to the naturalness of the cycle of life that includes birth and death, that includes grief and gratitude, that includes, you know, love and maybe sometimes the challenge of love. It includes everything. So this image of the child turning to its mother is a natural phenomenon for a child. I just saw a video the other day of someone's kid, you know, a little toddler learning to walk and just starting to explore, taken off. Then turns around to look back at mom. Could be a single dad, you know, single parent, could be dad. It could be an auntie, it could be an adopted mom. But someone in that child's life who's giving him or her a sense of safety, of comfort, of protectiveness, so that he, she, they can explore, can be brave. That kind of reassurance that encourages growth and fullness of being. So, you know, I'm thinking today in this sesshin, what are we doing? One of the things that we might connect with that we're doing is finding that quality, you know, that kind of reassurance, that kind of comfort, that kind of safety, finding that, being that for ourselves and each other. And it, you know, the tricky thing about a Dharma talk, these are supposed to be encouraging, these talks really. Maybe a little entertaining, you know, in the tough work of just being with our own mind in a day like this. Maybe a little bit of a, you know, a wholesome distraction. But the tricky thing about this is falling into too many words that, you know, you don't have to do anything. In my experience in Zen practice, there's an organic unfolding of this, that we get to practice with what we call the forms, like giving and receiving food. So nice to sit next to each other again after all these years. You know, and just how we bow together, how we walk together, how we just move through a day together intentionally. This, I feel, is training and just that, this quality of bringing safety, comfort, reassurance to ourselves and each other. So you don't have to worry about it, you know, about trying to do that. Maybe you can just trust that that's what you're training in. That's what's already happening. So this mother and child relationship, if not specifically understood by you yet, with your own mom, could be kind of an archetype. I'm thinking of the altar at St. Andrew's, Chisei remembers, of, you know, the beautiful opportunity of being in an Episcopal church and having a dedicated space there and seeing, we've always had Kuan Yin, one pointing there, but she's not there. She's at that other altar. The Bodhisattva of Compassion on her altar, and above her was the Virgin Mary with baby Jesus in her arms, and the beautiful echo of this archetype of mother-child. So in Zen, we might say, I was thinking about this mother-child relationship biologically, not one, not two, this incredible thing of giving birth, of carrying another being. I've never given birth, so I don't experientially know this. You know, but I was carried by my mom. And as you know, I've been thinking about this. My sister's birthday is coming up soon. My sister who died a couple months ago. And my mother, on the day she died, my mother and I together, and my mother really wanting to talk about her birth, the day of her birth, what it was like, what it sounded like, the church bells ringing across the street from Concord Hospital as my sister slipped out of her body. So this teaching of not one, not two, something, this non-separation of self and other in the Zen school that we might connect with around what the Buddha's asking of us, and what I'm calling being the mom. You know, seeing if there's a way to make contact with our own body mind right now with this teaching of no separate self. Whether or not you gave birth. It's really a beautiful opportunity here in this really magnificent space to be with the birds, you know, and seeing the blue sky through the skylights. You know, the beautiful smells. And last night, hearing that amazing life, last night when we were sitting, all kinds of things going on, owls and all kinds of birds. all kinds of other beings to kind of taking their place, it's their turn to sing. And then I want you to know, for those of you who slept here last night, when I left out this back door, I turned around and I looked at this dwelling where some of you were sleeping and where all of us are sitting. And I had to take a picture, I'll show you at some point. It was like this elf cottage with the night sky above. The way my phone took the picture, you could see the stars in the picture. And it looked so protected. So, you, on a day like this, are giving and receiving that protection, training in being the protector and the capacity to receive, to feel, to sense that protection. So, you know, I was starting to say about, you know, around grief and gratitude and, you know, difficulty in relationship with mom. I wanted to just share a word or two about my relationship with Blanche. I thought it might be interesting for Tova and Jen. For all that time I practiced with Blanche, what was going on for me? I don't know. It's because it's also like with my own mom, what I'm experiencing. You know, maybe this will be helpful for you. That this space, you know, how wonderful this space is to be able to inhabit and to practice here. It's like, because we've sat in so many spaces, this space kind of sweetens and softens the first noble truth, the truth of suffering in the human realm. It's so helpful. And the delicious food. Ah, yes. are so helpful because of, you know, the fact of difficulty in the human realm, and that we don't turn away from that. It's like in the course of our practice, the arc of our practice, finding ways to create space, to create breathing room around our particular suffering, to find ways to engage, to be in relationship with everything, including our suffering. And so, you know, with Blanche, one of her deepest challenges, she talked about this openly, was having been born a girl. It's very interesting. And I felt that when I first came to practice, when I first started at San Francisco Zen Center. I was just 30 and I was bopping around, very happy to be there. And I remember one time, it was Sajiki. And people said get dressed up, so I got dressed up. Coming out, I was living on the second floor and I was late, I think, and so I burst through that door over by the women's bathroom near the Caisando, and Blanche was just arriving to offer incense at the Caisando. And I burst through and she looked at me, and I don't remember what my costume was, with such a withering look. And I felt reduced to like a speck. And then later on, for my Tongariro practice period, I was asked to be the baker by Dale. Remember that? It was the bread baker. And I was baking the bread, and Blanche was leading that practice period. We sat Tongariro together, Tova and I, back in 2000. And Gakudo and Keishi, there were two Japanese monks, priests, had, I don't know, they, you could smell the bread baking, and so some people had come into the kitchen. And I just baked 32 loaves of bread, and it was kind of nice to be able to taste it, you know, and stuff. And so they were in there and they were tasting it, and I think there was some laughing going on, and I remember Blanche walked into the kitchen and she said, "What is all this cackling?" And again, I felt, who knows? You know, I attribute that now to her. And this is what I was saying this morning in the ceremony at the altar. This is what I was feeling about the two pictures, the Virya. That picture, I think, the black and white one, was taken by Rin Bunce, I think. And I think it was our Tongario practice period. This for me is Blanche, very. The rigor of Zen that I connect with. One of my favorite things about my own monastic training was driving the truck, the lumber truck. So I identify with that kind of strength, you know? And it was just so wonderful in the arc of our practice life, hers and mine, and conjoined in our relationship to all the things that happened. From 1998, when I first met Blanche, until she died 7 years ago. All the things that happened, including the death of her husband, so many deaths at City Center, my leaving twice, San Francisco Zen Center, Blanche aging, and in the last years before I left Zen Center, San Francisco, her really taking up the practice of metta, of loving kindness. You know, some of it, she was 90, you know? Things happen and we slow down and stuff. The softening, you know, her relationship with her daughter, Mitzi, and coming to terms with some, that was a difficult relationship for her, for both of them. And really, all of us just settling together. You know, the space for Blanche to be Blanche, and for Zenkei Roshi to be Zenkei Roshi, for Joan to be Joan, for Myozen to be Myozen. Just the space. I've come to this thought, I'm sharing it with you. It's a riff. The arc of practice is long, and it bends toward awakening. This is what I feel now. The arc of practice is long. If we keep showing up for ourselves and each other over time, shift happens. There are things that can open up, that can loosen up. Sometimes it takes a very long time. Some things might not happen in this life, but so, you know, when I said about completeness with Blanche, with Zenkei, I feel that. You know, I've always been a little bit uncomfortable. I think there are some sayings of, you know, like, don't speak ill of the dead. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm speaking ill of Blanche because it's precisely dukkha that's a noble truth. No. Can we give space and compassion and love? You know, not just to others' transgressions or missteps or shortcomings, but our own. You know, and practice deeply right here. So that's how I want to honor Blanche today. I feel the shifts happening in my own life. Blanche's path, my own path, my mom's path, my path. Blanche and me together, my mom and me together, and so many other relationships. So many regrets. And it's not a problem. And I feel it. So I say deeply, thank you, Zenkei Roshi. Thank you, Blanche. Maybe you're the one who planted the seeds for the healing of my own biological mom. And I want to say thank you, Tova, for coming today to be with us, to bear witness, you know, to our practice here together, what it looks like in 2023. And it's a beautiful opportunity for you to have a chance to interact with Tova this afternoon, who has graciously accepted the invitation to offer practice discussion this afternoon. Upstairs, same room as you know, we'll tag team it. Please, there's paper out there. Please request practice discussion if you'd like. No pressure whatsoever. Just put your request on the piece of paper on the bulletin board, and then we'll begin here with the head student, with Chief Gunn, and we'll tag team it going around. We'll make sure Tova has a list of the people, and you need to sign up, I would say, by the beginning of the break, you know, toward the beginning of the break after lunch, so that we can have time to put the list together and let Tova know what's what. Okay? Just for a moment now, just before ending, before we move into walking meditation, and I propose we go outside to move a little bit the energy for those who would like. Do walking meditation outside. But before that, just right here, just at the risk of really gotten too much in the head with all this talking and swirling with all these words, I'd like to propose just a mini little practice here, coming back into the body if you've gotten stuck in your head. I might offer this afternoon a little hands-on encouragement. Sometimes I touch the back, your back, mid-back, behind the lungs. This may be a coming out of COVID practice too. Making contact with the back of the lungs in order to encourage deep and full breath. Right now, if you'd like, maybe you can visualize as I do when I offer this to you. I do this for myself. A warm, supportive, maternal hand on your back, firmly encouraging the lungs to open fully. And it's like knocking on the back door of the lungs, saying, hello, open up. Feeling the back of the lungs also, the total engagement of the lungs in a complete breath in, a full expansion of the lungs, and then a full release. And when I do that, I notice how that's not how I always breathe. When I'm encouraged and reminded to do that, I notice how good and how encouraging it feels to breathe so deeply. So maybe just take a moment and feel that for yourself as a tangible practice of maybe being your own mom. Thank you. So let's So we're into our cushions. And we just meet right outside.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. This podcast is made possible by donations from listeners like you. For more information or to donate, please go to www.zencenternorthshore.org. Thank you.